This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Apple has announced, as of a couple of weeks ago, that my 27-inch iMac is now vintage, which means it is so old, a little over 5 years old, so old that it is no longer officially supported. Okay? So I have this old, ancient computer. I also have a 2010 MacBook Pro that was vintage like 3-4 years ago. I don't know about me. I don't think they call me vintage. I think they call me old.
Well, yeah, but you know, the thing is, it's like, from what you were telling me, you've got like a 5K screen, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful machine. Yeah, so I mean, so what if you're using RetroTech? I mean, I love RetroTech. I've got Windows 98 machines still.
Well, it runs all the current software and the current operating system called Big Sur. It also has a 4 gigahertz Intel i7 processor. But again, it's vintage because of the age. Before we get into vintage, let's look at a vintage case that we've talked about in the PowerCast a few times over the years. This brings to mind a book from Nick Redfern we talked about a few months ago. So here's where it comes in. Email from Nick. Coming next week, the new book from John Burroughs, one of the key figures in the Rendlesham Forest UFO event of December 1980. Now, he reviewed the book, which is entitled Weaponization of an Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, the Rendlesham Forest UAP Incident 40 Years Later, and John Burroughs being the main author, and then someone named James Warrow. As many of our listeners know, John's been on the PowerCast a few times. He suffered some sort of injury or illness, he says, as a result of the encounter, and had to file a lawsuit or threatened to file a lawsuit in order to get covered by the military for the cost of his medical care, which itself was kind of a really big screw-up as far as I'm concerned. But what he's basically saying here is that, at least in part, secret experimentation took place at Rendlesham. Now, I get the impression from reading Nick's review, I don't have the book yet, but I get the impression from reading Nick's review is that it's both some strange phenomenon and the military pulling a few tricks in terms of mind control. Of course, that itself confirms what Nick has written about the story.
I wouldn't be entirely surprised to find out that that was the case, but I mean, this story has also morphed and taken on almost a life of its own. It seemed like a fairly straightforward UFO encounter case when it first came out, and then, you know, we've seen it evolve. So how do we know what's really true and what's not true anymore when it comes to these things?
Well, it also brings up the fact that if it happened there, if it happened elsewhere, what about Cash Landrum, where at least a couple of people suffered lifelong injuries like radiation burns? What was involved there and the uniqueness of the encounter, does that indicate another government experiment of some kind?
And could be.
And how do we trust anything that a government says to us if they were pulling these stunts? Now, remember, we're talking about 40 years ago. So, yes, there may be some people who are still around who were low-level bureaucrats back in 1980. But still, this points out that the UFO enigma, UAP enigma, whatever we wish to call it, is far, far more complicated. There may indeed be a phenomenon that could be extraterrestrial, but we also have the problems in terms of government involvement and mind control. Preston Dennett, we're glad to have you back on the show. Have you looked into any of this stuff? What's your perception?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on. This field is so deceptively complicated. I came into it incredibly naive. And yeah, now I'm neck deep in it. And it's impossible to look at all of this stuff and not think there's something going on to it. Yeah.
So then again here, does this put a negative view on possible ET visitation, or is it just one more thing going on?
I overall have a pretty positive view on the whole UFO situation in terms of the ETs and their agenda. I think I'm more afraid of our government and what they're going to do and how they're handling this whole situation. And as far as, you know, Rendlesham being mind control, I've heard that theory. I don't know. This is the kind of case where it's just, I'm not an expert on the Rendlesham by any means. But how many books are there out on this case now? 10, 20?
Exactly.
And it just grows and grows and grows. And Larry Warren, he was one of the first guys, and then he got bashed pretty hard.
Well, supposedly a lot of what he told his co-author was fake.
Right. This is the sort of thing that I'm like, okay. I tend to believe some of his story is real. He's always said it was. I'm not going to say all of it because, you know, there's a lot of controversy surrounding his testimony.
Well, and the thing also to bear in mind is it's not uncommon to think that if somebody's inclined to lie in one place, they're going to lie in others. So how do you separate the lies?
Right. But we know the Rendlesham case is real. I mean, because there's
so many happened, sure.
Involved. And a lot of people claim to have been a part of it. I remember I read the first book, I think it was by Dot Street and Brenda Butler. And I thought, wow, you know, this is a big case. I had no idea it was going to, you know, become this huge. I tend to think there is an ET element to it. I know that there are researchers out there who think the whole abduction phenomena is my labs and mind control. No, not for a single second do I believe that. I think that does happen. I know people who've experienced that or apparently have, but by and large, I think most of the abduction phenomena is extraterrestrial. The Cash Landrum case, that's a tricky one. This thing was surrounded by helicopters traveling down a Texas highway. That, I tend to think, has strong military involvement, but very hard to say.
I want to raise one thing here, and of course he's not here to tell us anymore. But remember, the late Stanton Friedman worked as a nuclear physicist before he got involved in being a UFO writer lecturer. And he told us at one time during one of our episodes that they were looking into nuclear propulsion systems. So let's extrapolate. Maybe Cash Landrum involved an attempt to have a nuclear propulsion system of an aircraft and didn't work so well. And radiation leaked, and guess what happened? Now, I'm not going to say that's true, but it's not against the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it's a reasonable extrapolation. I think Stanton didn't, well, he said he didn't know of any project like that. The one he was working on was real, but it was much larger and wasn't, you know, working. But that doesn't mean there couldn't have been one. But just before that, I was going to make the point, too, where you guys are talking about mind control. Well, if there's mind control involved in some of these sightings, the people may not believe that they're lying. They may actually believe the situation that they think they experienced actually happened. And it might even involve actual experiences with real aliens. And then later on, there was some mind control issues that came into play because they were part of the witnesses. Like recently, well, we just had the anniversary of John Lennon's death, and I put a little post on the forum about that. Here's my conspiracy theory, and it turns out the CIA had a file on Lennon.
So did the FBI, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Because I think they thought of him as a threat to the country. We've got Preston Dennett with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're talking here about not just UFOs that have some kind of external source such as ET, but the U.S. government and possibly other governments around the world poking their fingers into the mess. Now, at the same time, I have said on this show a few times, I had this sneaking feeling that Barney and Betty Hill's abduction may have been some kind of government experiment. Remember, we're dealing here with 1961. We have a situation where we have an interracial couple at a time when that wasn't a normal thing. Today it's a normal thing. But that wasn't a normal thing. I mean, an interracial couple gave us a president and a vice president. Of course, Barack Obama, white mother, black father, Kamala Harris having a black father and an Asian Indian mother. So the point here, this is common today. It wasn't common in 1961. And they were also living near a military base. They had a lot of people in the military who were their friends. We know a lot of funky things were going on related to UFOs. So as much as some people might want to say, okay, this was E.T., we've got the star map and all the other things, and I should mention, I met Betty Hill a couple of times in the 70s, and she seemed like a really, really nice woman, and I'm sure she was being honest about what happened to her and her husband. At the same time, who's to know? This may be one example of the government doing funky things. Randall.
It's quite possible. We know that the government's got to be involved in it in some way, shape, or form. And so there's a spectrum from them being completely not in some cases and some sightings to them being involved in some cases and some sightings where they track things on radar, they chase them with jets. And then there could very well be, and we seem to have evidence of this, that there are cases where there are no aliens involved in it. For example, when they had the skyhook balloons and the secret spy planes that they were being picked up and reported as UFOs by radar installations.
Well, certainly the U-2. We did not admit there was a U-2 spy craft until Eisenhower did during his administration when Francis Gary Powers was captured by the Russians. Then he admitted it, which to me at the time, I mean, I was just a kid, but the impression was from the pundits and politicians was that he should not have admitted that. But here's the thing too, and I'll bring this up with Preston. You investigated lots and lots of sightings. You've been following this for a lot of years. You've got up close and personal in talking to people. You do believe that at least some of these abductions are indeed real encounters with extraterrestrials. So how do we separate them? How do we know this is not the government rather than the extraterrestrial? How do we know?
Yeah, it's a real problem. Sometimes I think it's both. If you talk to Melinda Leslie, she's pretty well known in this field. I interviewed her, and she had an experience where she was presumably taken on board a craft and saw grays, but there was also a person in full military uniform watching the whole thing take place. And if you believe, you know, John Lear and his theory that we've made a deal with the grays in allowing them to abduct people in exchange for technology, and we get to observe some of these abductions, well, you can see that there's a bleed through where there could be real abductions with military personnel on board. There could be completely fake abductions, and there could be abductions with no military involved at all. I personally think that's what we're dealing with. That sort of military theory rarely comes up. My labs, a number of people have told me that they have been fronted by military personnel who were interested in what happened to them. So it seems clear to me that our military, just judging from the whole conglomeration of cases where we've got jets chasing after UFOs and a military that seems to be very perplexed by what's going on and trying to cover it up, that no, most of this is not military. I think it would be a mistake to sort of lump this all as military or mind control. As far as the Betty and Barney Hill case, I've never seen any compelling evidence that would point towards that theory. I don't believe Betty ever mentioned anything like that.
Based on what Betty Hill told me when I did have a chance to talk to her a couple of times, she believed it to be a real encounter with otherworldly beings, certainly. The thing I would wonder here is the purpose of this kind of mind control. Now, we seem to have examples of things like this being done through the years, and there are theories that things we take for granted as UFO events may indeed have had other causes, secret weapons, mind control, certainly the ghost rockets from World War II, and after the book, The Rosetta Deception, from James Carrion, the former director of MUFON, was that this was done to spook the Russians. Certainly Nick Redfern insists that Roswell was some kind of experiment having nothing to do with a phenomenon, but he still believes there was a phenomenon here. So we have these coexisting issues here where, one, the government is doing something, two, we have this outside force doing something. You have to wonder if they work together. Then again, wouldn't it be prudent or at least efficient for a government to make it seem as if something they're working on is a UFO, because it's easily, therefore, disbelieved by a lot of people, to cover up the truth that has nothing to do with UFOs? Preston?
I'm not an expert on government conspiracies, so it's hard for me to speak towards this, but I, again, am convinced that this is a real phenomenon that is can be best explained as extraterrestrial. I've got so many cases involving, like, a little 12-year-old paper boy from a small town in Texas, had a missing time experience at like 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I very much doubt this is military picking on a little boy. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, like you said, what would be the reason for that? To convince people that ETs are evil and abducting us against our will? Well, you know, it's hard for me to believe. You'd need an enormous amount of people to sort of conduct an abduction phenomenon, pulling the wool over our eyes and saying this is ETs, when it's not. We just don't have the manpower for it. It's been going on for far too long. People's testimonies are very consistent. I think the theory which best fits the evidence, again, is extraterrestrial. It's logical. You know, if there are no extraterrestrials out there, where does that leave us? Completely unique in the center of the universe. You know, putting us on that pedestal has never worked. Historically speaking, we're not the center of the universe. There's a strong resistance to the idea of extraterrestrials, largely because there's been a lot of money spent towards this, a lot of time and energy from our own government and governments across the world covering this up.
I think in general, though, it's pretty much admitted that there's probably life out there in the universe, even from people who don't believe in UFOs. And that we're just one of many planets that may have spawned life and have intelligent life. More to come with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices at the Centers for Disease Control has added its approval to the emergency use authorization for Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine. The CDC committee voted Saturday to recommend the vaccine for use for people 16 years or older. With the FDA's approval Friday night, vaccines have already begun to be shipped across the country. However, some may be wary of the shot based on how quickly approval has come. Dr. Stephen Hahn, FDA commissioner, says the agency was able to quickly evaluate all the data surrounding the vaccine's safety.
We applied our high standards of review in reviewing this product so that Americans can have trust and confidence that the vaccine meets FDA's rigorous standards for safety and effectiveness. And with this authorization, we know that our federal partners are already moving to distribute the first doses of the vaccine throughout the country.
This is USA Radio News. President-elect Joe Biden has made his pick to run the Department of Veterans Affairs. Jeremy Scott has more from the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau.
Biden has appointed Dennis McDonough as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
He shares my belief that we have many obligations as a nation. We have only one truly sacred obligation: to prepare and equip our troops that we send into harm's way, and then to care for them and their families when they return.
McDonough was President Obama's chief of staff from 2013 to 2017. President-elect Biden said he played a key role in improving health care for veterans during the administration. From the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And President Trump has added a federal holiday to the calendar this year. The executive order signed Friday makes Christmas Eve, Thursday, December 24th, a federal holiday, giving federal workers a fully paid day off. Traditionally, past presidents have offered federal workers a half day in the past. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, as we proceed with Preston Dennett, it appears, I'm divining this by psychic powers, that Randall has something to say.
Well, yeah, I was thinking just prior to the break there that both you guys are making some really excellent points. And this is what I really love about the field of ufology as a whole, is that we can go into this core of the phenomena where there is something unquestionably alien taking place. Because, Preston, like you say, what would be the point of having these random experiences with people who have no relevance to the military whatsoever, like young people or just anyone out on some lonely road in the middle of nowhere, completely unexpectedly, like you say, Gene, something happens to them, they have this experience. So one would think that if it was planned by the military, they plan everything down to the T, on a grid, that this kind of an experience just doesn't fit that model. There's something going on. But then there's other ones that are, they're around military bases, and they seem to involve some sort of planning that we could say, that might make a little bit more sense. And then there's the way out there stuff, but it's all just fascinating to me. And Preston, you've got something else here that's really fascinating, really fun. Your new book, UFOs at the Drive-In, 100 True Cases of Close Encounters at Drive-In Theaters. Cover art by Christine Kassara Dennett, published by Blue Giant Books Nonfiction. Tell us a bit about Christine Kassara Dennett.
She is my sister-in-law, married my brother Mark from the very beginning, back 1988 or so. She started doing drawings for me based on eyewitness accounts, and we've never looked back. She's done the cover for most of my books, illustrated several of them, and is still working now as a leading UFO artist. She lives up in Oregon. Yeah, she's amazing. I'm really blessed to have her in my life.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. She's got her own website, I noticed, at kisara.org. And so I think it's really only fair that she get a mention in there. And that's pretty cool stuff.
What does your sister think, though, about the subject itself? Does she align with you about your impressions?
For the most part, she's a very spiritual person, so I think she probably takes a little bit more of a positive viewpoint than I might. I still have a problem with the fact that people are being basically kidnapped, and I don't think you can rationalize that kind of behavior. It's a crime pretty much in every country, I think, and that, for me, is a problem with how ETs behave.
Well, the thing I also wonder about, too, is whether governments are officially aware of it, and what are they doing? Because, to me, kidnapping somebody is a crime. It's a felony. So whether it's done by E.T. or someone down the street, that weirdo down the street, it's still a crime. Right. So this is an act of hostility unless the governments of Earth are allowing it. I don't care what motives are given. You know, they want to send us positive information about peace and brotherhood, but to do so, they break the law.
Yeah, it's very interesting what's going on now, because we have recent Pentagon disclosures and an actual first-hand admission that we have, quote, otherworldly or materials from otherworldly vehicles. And we know they know from the beginning that this was not military, that something alien is visiting our planet. And I think one of the top reasons that we don't have full-on disclosure is, in fact, the fact, you know, that UFOs are coming down and taking people, and we can't stop them.
Yeah, how are you supposed to stop, you know, a technology that can float people out through walls? That, you know, like,
yeah,
it's, you know, whatever it is, it seems to be quite a ways beyond us. And yet they're not always harmful. I mean, in some cases, you know, they are, but a lot of times they're just sort of more playful and enigmatic. And that's what seems to be taking place in quite a few of the cases that you document in your book, 102 Cases of Close Encounters at Drive-In Theaters. So what inspired you to write about UFOs at drive-in theaters?
Because I was shocked at what I found out. I had uncovered a case involving a drive-in theater encounter early on. A lady at my office described an encounter at Paramount Drive-In Theater. She was with her family, and this classic saucer dropped down, comes right next to the screen, and causes a complete panic. She said people were running from their cars or to their cars, dropping popcorn, drinks, and screeching out of the theater, and it was a big deal. It really made a strong impression on her and her family. And I thought, wow, you know, this is crazy. I've never heard of a case like this. And I didn't for years. But every now and then one would pop up. I remember I was writing UFOs over Colorado, and that's when I had my aha moment. I ran into one, two, three cases in a row. And these are not just your typical flyby. I mean, these objects are targeting these theaters, clearly, coming down to, I mean, a long-lasting, low-level sighting, and they put on a show. I mean, this is a crazy type of encounter. And I thought, okay, let's survey the literature, let's see if this is a thing. And I took, you know, I had to dig deep into, you know, National UFO Reporting Center, NUFORC, MUFON, APRO, and UFO News Clipping Service, and so on. I found 100 cases. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, no kidding. That is really interesting. Well, of course, there's thousands of cases, so there's bound to be a few that are going to be in the same kind of place. Like, we have them over reservoirs and power lines, farms, water towers. But people just, I don't think they just thought much about, well, drive-in theaters. You know, but I can imagine that it would be quite a spectacle for this to take place. And I'm assuming that they don't wait for the intermission, or do they? Or do they take place during, you know, just at random times during these films? Or do they always wait till the film is underway and everyone's in their car? Or
yeah, I looked into that. I really looked into this deep. Is it the movie? You know, where are these theaters? What? I looked for all kinds of patterns, and the pattern I found in terms of when the encounter actually occurs, is kind of interesting, actually. There were a few that occurred during the intermission, which the witnesses thought was significant, but most occur pretty much right around the beginning of the movie, right when it starts. Or sometimes right in the most dramatic scene, people are like, oh, it's right in the middle, you know, right smack when the suspense was really high. These things drop down. And it's not just for a few minutes in most cases. It's longer than that. And as I said, they put on a show. I think when I first realized that when I ran across a case from George Fawcett, May 1963 at the Wellington Circle Twin in Medford, Massachusetts, when two glowing discs showed up. Usually they hover right over the screen or right next to it. In this case, they kind of went to the side next to the parking lot. And then two more discs showed up, scooted under the first two, followed by two more, and two more after that. So now we have a fleet, literally, of eight objects in two columns of four each. And once they had that formation, this is when they started putting on the show. For the next 45 minutes, these objects started playing kind of musical chairs, sort of rotating in and out of these columns. For a full 45 minutes.
Wow. Okay, so back in those days, people had film cameras. Did anyone ever get any photos of these things?
No. No, most people apparently don't bring their cameras to drive-in theaters. There are some modern cases, and three or four cell phones are mentioned where they tried to take pictures, but none were they successful. And one because the objects were just didn't appear on the camera. And another, they pulled out the cell phone and the thing darts away.
Hey, we're going to break here. We've got Chris and Dan had written a number of UFO-oriented books, including UFOs at the Drive-In, where strange flying objects appear in and around the drive-in theater, and they do funky things. I mean, like he says, they're possibly putting on a show. With Gina Randall, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Extendivite 7-Herb Formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Preston Dennett, they're putting on a show. Why would they do that? And that, of course, raises the other question, too. Is it the physical objects, or are they sending projections, holographic images of the things they want to give to us? It's almost like trying to entertain us or them.
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe there'd be a case where they shined on a beam of light and, you know, put on their own movie. But that's not.
Maybe that is their own movie.
No, I looked into the movies. These are just normal movies people are watching. The Simpsons, King Kong, Jurassic Park, Outlaw Josie.
No, I'm saying what the UFOs do.
I think they know what's going on here. That people are coming there for entertainment, and they're like, you want entertainment? You want a show? Watch this. I honestly think that's what their agenda is. It definitely involves wanting to be seen. There's no doubt in my mind that this behavior is incredibly brazen, incredibly in your face. It's an obvious publicity stunt of some kind. And as far as why they're doing it, I mean, I can only speculate. I think it's sort of their campaign to announce their presence.
Well, yeah, but why would they need to hang out around a drive-in theater to announce their presence? They can do that a hell of a lot easier, and certainly in a way that would get much more attention.
I don't think they want too much attention, honestly. I looked into sporting events. I looked into music venues. Nothing like that. There's a few cases, don't get me wrong, over, you know, baseball games and stuff, but not like this. This is unique, and I think they've found the perfect size crowd, a couple of hundred people, and sort of slide under the radar a little bit. A lot of these cases did make local news, but it rarely moved beyond that. I found only one of these cases in any of my UFO books. And let me tell you, I've got like 200 or 300. This is mostly from UFO news clippings and old archives from UFO centers.
You know, drive-in theaters, they tend to be kind of like out on the outskirts or in some part of town where there's not a lot of activity going on and lights that are going to interfere with the film. So it's got this little bit of an element of seclusion. And then it seems that there have been a number of cases in the past, too, and it still goes on today, where people will shine lights up at UFOs and allegedly get some kind of response. Well, what's a film projector? It's a great big light projector. I wonder if they're thinking, you know, this is some kind of communication, mass communication that, you know, that we're doing with our people. That we're shining these lights on this big screen and they want to take part in it somehow.
Yeah. Well, if you look at a theater from up above, an aerial photo makes a very striking footprint. I'm guessing these, you know, a driving theater while the movie is playing has got to be visible from way, way high up there. You know, UFOs love UFO beams. They love screens. They're definitely attracted to this, I think. Maybe they're just curious. I don't think they're really watching the movie as we would think of it, though there are a few cases where they were there the entire movie, way up there, but they were there.
Don't you think it's interesting, though, too, that, you know, after all of this started happening, or even around the time that it started happening, that it didn't take that long for them to go from being out there beyond the screen to being on the screen, like in Earth versus the Saucers. And you know what I'm saying? It's like they have inserted themselves into our culture through this means of mass media, which is theater, and the whole thing is theatrical in nature.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're doing. With these driving theater cases, we don't have abductions, at least not apparently. There are a few cases, maybe, which got a little weird. But mostly, I think, these are just your simple kind of close encounter of the first kind, a sighting.
The thing, of course, is that we don't have movie theaters like we used to, drive-ins. Even the standard movieplexes are dying because of the coronavirus. But I was looking up drive-ins in and around my corner of the world here in Arizona, and there is one that's not far from me. It's called Digital Drive-In AZ, which is located on North Alma School Road in Mesa, Arizona. It's a 24 by 40 foot digital screen. And obviously the way it works is they don't give you a speaker to receive the audio. I think it's generated by AM or FM or something so that you can pick up the signal on your car radio, which gets you better quality audio, of course. That was a big thing, of course, about drive-ins to me when I would go when I was younger and living in rural Alabama and everything. We go to the drive-in, they give you the portable speaker system, which had horrible sound, and then you'd have to make sure your windshield was clear so that you could actually see something on it. I understand now with social distancing and mask wearing, this may be the only way to rescue movie theaters for the time being. In fact, even now, we're not going to get into it because it's not part of our discussion. Look at Warner Media. All of their films for 2021 will premiere not just in the movie theaters, all three or four that are left, but through HBO Max, their streaming service, even Wonder Woman on Christmas Day. You can watch Wonder Woman at the multiplex if one is open, or you can watch it home on HBO Max. I'm giving a commercial here, and I expect a 10-year membership from HBO because they really need the publicity. They're not getting good publicity from the movie industry who doesn't like it. But seriously speaking here, UFOs are the drive-in. That conveys a really, really unusual slant to the purpose of UFOs and why they're here, because this is obviously a deliberate action. They didn't accidentally come to the local drive-in. They're doing something. But then it also conveys the impression that this also could be something generated by some kind of government action in some cases.
I don't think it's government. Some of these witnesses call airports, police, you know, do a long search. And usually they get no response. And in a number of cases, we do have Air Force showing up and chasing these objects away. For that matter, particularly with the early witnesses from the 1950s, a lot of them were military. Well, here's a really interesting case, which I think sort of speaks towards military involvement. This occurred at the terrorist drive-in. This is in Bakersfield, California, August 12th, 1952. It's a fairly large drive-in, 600-plus cars. And the main witness is Lieutenant Jenkins. He's up watching this movie with everyone else when suddenly this, without warning, this object just drops down and hovers about 20 to 50 feet above the screen. This one is sort of cigar-shaped. It's got portholes or lights on it. It doesn't stay long. It's totally silent. Just a couple of moments and darts off like a bullet. Well, he decides to call the locals, police. Sheriff Leroy Hatfield answers, takes his testimony, hangs up the phone. Soon, another call comes in. It's another person to the theater. After four calls, he just goes down to the theater. There's 100 people there. He takes the testimony of about 30 people and sends it off to Edwards Air Force Base, who is very interested in his report. It's routed through Blue Book, past Blue Book, actually, to the Air Technical Intelligence Command at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, also forwarded to Ent Air Force Base in Colorado, and to the top of government, Director of Intelligence at Washington, D.C. So they were very interested in this from the very beginning. I tracked other cases that had that same sort of route. our military intelligence was very interested in these reports, and I think knew from the very beginning that these were not, certainly not ours, from possibly Russia, but no, pretty clear that they believed that these were extraterrestrial from the very beginning.
Well, certainly the estimate of the situation that Project Sign did, we know that their engineers, when they studied all of the reports that had come into them, Ruppelt himself, who saw a copy of the estimate, says, yeah, they concluded that they were interplanetary in those days. But, of course, since then, we've found that it's really unlikely that there are any other civilizations in our solar system. So the next logical location would be something interstellar.
Yeah, or for that matter, it could be farther than that. We don't really know. Interdimensional, other galaxies. Some ETs have said, oh, we're from Andromeda. You know, a number of them do announce their alleged origins, but generally speaking, no. They're very tight-lipped and kind of coy with their answers.
But I wonder here, Preston, when someone communicates with an alleged ET, and they say, okay, we come from Andromeda. We come from wherever. We come from this planet that's 137 light years away. Okay, why believe them? More to come with Gene, Preston, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.